Stillman & Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Caroline Fenton is here today. Hello, Caroline.
Hello, how are we doing?
I'm doing well. Ian's here today. How are you, Ian?
What up, what up?
So I have a bone to pick with both of you.
What? What now?
A serious bone with both of you.
A trivia bone to pick?
I do have a trivia bone to pick. Today we had an all-staff meeting at work. It was a mandatory all-staff meeting where I think we did a lot of like mandatory all-staff things that most people in their jobs have to do. So we agreed to, you know, not break the law, not break the FCC rules, not break the FTC rules.
We try our best.
Not sexually harass anybody. You know, like all the things that I think literally everybody has to go through in their job. And then we had like a trivia competition. And I'm just going to say this. It was really odd.
Don't you dare.
How the man in charge was closest to the team table that represented both Caroline and Ian. My team table was next to it. And early on, it was a ring the bell. Whoever rings the bell first goes. Problem is if three people ring the bell at one time, how are you going to know who rang it first? I mean, my dad goes to the Predators, and sometimes he can't even see the puck go in the back of the net. So now we're talking about, like, ringing the bell and, like, okay, which one rang here, there, what? And so early on, I think I scored like three correct answers in a row. It was first to 10. I think I scored like three correct answers in a row.
That seems generous.
But the complainers,
that does seem generous.
Which I forget what their team name was, but it might as well have been the complainers.
We were the Barracudas.
Because yep. They complained so much that we had to start the game over. And their team, by the way, sucked. And Robbie Stanley was on it too.
Okay. Nope. No.
You guys finished what, 30 points?
We were on a roll.
Like 20
and then
points?
You, Jared Stillman, had to just complain and whine about the fact that I got the answer right before you did.
No, you did not.
Yes,
I did. It doesn't, first of all, it doesn't matter if you got it right.
I rang the bell first. I got the answer right.
Nobody
it was
you rang
about
the bell first.
Bring it on. If anybody who listens to this show would think, who would know more about a movie about cheerleading? Caroline or Jared? I would guarantee you everyone would say Caroline. So
you want to bet on this? On Bring It On?
100% I do.
You want to bring it on?
I want to bring it on right now.
Are you sure?
100%.
Okay. We do need to talk about the Titans, and we will.
We do need to talk about
the World Series.
Not important right
Ian,
now.
Ian, I want you to go to imdb.com right now, and I want you to pull up Bring It On, and I want you to pull up the trivia section. I'm sure there's a trivia section.
I'm sure.
I haven't seen it. I have not seen the trivia section. I want you to pull up the trivia section to Bring It On. Because Caroline was like 4 when this movie came out.
That doesn't mean I haven't seen it.
I was in my rom-com prime when this movie came
out. This is not a rom-com. This is a cheerleading movie. This is not a democracy. It's a what?
Cheerocracy.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. So I am making an executive decision here of the radio program. If you are looking for us to talk about the Titans and all of the talk that the Titans did on Sunday about not worrying about beating the Chiefs and focusing forward and how there's a lot of Titan fans out there, my dad included, who thinks they're going to lose to the Colts. If you're looking for that, we will literally do that in 5 minutes. But first,
we have some business to tend to.
I must bring it on. And by the way, I would like you to turn your computer to me so that I know that you are not cheating.
I'm just pulling up my webcam.
Okay, well then the people are going to get to see my, you know, entire studio.
I was just pulling up the text line.
Okay, all right, okay.
I'm pulling up the text
line. Okay, all right. So now, Ian, do you have that trivia pulled up?
I do, but it doesn't ask me trivia questions. It just tells you, like, fun facts.
We probably know those fun facts.
Those are like,
or like,
by the way,
actor
so-and-so
names.
Was also in such-and-such with so-and-so.
All the actors who were playing cheerleaders had to go to what they ended up calling a cheerleader boot camp. Like, that's not really a trivia question for me.
It's not really. Not for Bring It On. No, it's not.
Well, we can just Bring It On trivia each other. Bring It On off.
Okay.
What was their main high school name? The name of the main
Rancho
high school?
Rancho Carne Toros.
Toros. And they battled with the Clovers.
Yeah. Go East Clovers. Conference. Go Clovers. If you drop the spirit stick, where do you go?
Hades.
Yep, that's true.
Okay, what was the name? Okay, this is great.
Okay.
What was the name of the guy that they hired after they got caught jacking all their cheers?
Oh, this guy.
That's not his name.
His spirit fingers.
And
his
he did spirit, have the fingers. Spirit fingers.
Oh, what is his name? It's something like so ridiculous. Oh, I don't know. What is his name?
Sparky Pulaski.
Sparky Pulaski. Yes,
ding,
you're
ding,
so
ding.
Right.
Bring it on, champion.
No, 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 no,
right
no, no, no.
Here.
No, 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 no.
Thank you.
Not after
Thank
just one
you.
Question. No way.
Okay, then come up with another one. And let's see if I can nail this. And I'll, in my head, come up with another one, too. I just want to tell the people out there. I'm giving you time to think of a question. Just telling, like, the people out there today that this inter-office trivia questioning, which anytime they ask like a rock question or something, I was totally out.
Yeah,
like,
the
when they
rock
ask, like,
questions.
Marilyn Manson questions. Like, I have no clue.
Or this thing from 1950, this one person.
Buddy Holly thing?
Yes. Yeah. I don't know anything from 1950.
So like we had no, like my table didn't have a chance. Her table didn't really have much of a chance. Joe Retro got some answers right.
This was right in his his era wheelhouse.
There were a lot of basketball questions, too, that 80s, Joe just 90s. Slammed
dunk. It was a 2000 Trivial Pursuit, so it was right in that kind of wheelhouse for him.
It was crazy because when they said 80s and 90s, I was like, oh, my God. This is like the one era that Caroline's probably not going to have any idea about, and Floyd probably wouldn't have had any idea about.
Yep.
Like, he wouldn't have known any of those to anything because, football. unless they asked football questions. There was one that I froze up on. Where they asked who the Converse shoes were named. I think Ian got that.
Ian got that.
The Chuck Millers.
Yeah. But it was disqualified because of your whining.
Oh, no, 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 no. Y'all were the complainers.
Absolutely not. No. I rang the bell first. I said cheerleading first.
So then what got me, I froze up on that question because all I could think about was this old Converse weapon commercial where it had like all these NBA
Converse
players.
Weapon? That's the shoe?
That allows Magic to do what he was born to do. And I just had this like stuck in my head. And I got to tell you, being the bell ringing guy is like very, very stressful.
It's very overwhelming.
I see my hand like shaking. And here's the other thing too. Like they had to say, like our office people, they had to say like a couple times, like, hey guys, it's just a game. Like it was not just a game to me today.
I could tell.
Like, it was not a game.
I could very much say
and there
tell.
Was.
I wanted to win.
You were sweating a little
there
bit.
There were minus points for wrong answers. So if you got the wrong.
That was another thing.
That,
oh my God.
Got a little
that
tricky.
Was a fun caveat.
Oh, my, so then there was one where like, you could bring it beforehand like Jeopardy and then try to answer the question. But if you get it wrong, you lose points. And they,
you got burned by that.
I got burned on this. So
you got too
asked,
excited.
They said former Minnesota governor, Jesse Ventura, bang. And I go wrestling. And they were like, and they looked at me like, and
what
then
was
I
his
just go,
nickname?
And then I just go, the body, before they even asked. Once they looked at me like that, I knew that they were looking for the nickname and not the sport. And I just go, the body. And I think they wanted to give it to me. But everybody else, because, they hate us because they ain't us. Everybody else, like, no, that was his first answer. We got docked.
Well, you got your first answer. That's how the game goes. Sorry.
No, that one I screwed up. But the idea, the two ideas, that they had rang the bell before I did.
I rang the bell first, and I said cheerleading first.
We were not the judges on that. It was an impartial judge who decided, full disclosure.
But he took all the points off the board because he knew he was wrong. It was like when the referees come together after they call something, and then they come out and they go, there was no foul on the play for intentional grounding. 73 was in the area. That's what that was like today in the office.
Well, for example, the team that's going to be playing the World Series tonight, they do an awful lot of cheating. That's kind of how I felt like you were, what was going on at your table against us.
How do we cheat?
Because you claimed that you hit the bell first. I hit the bell first.
That's not cheating. That is reporting what happened.
Nope. You were reporting false truths.
No. So, I felt like they needed the nickname the Complainers because all they did
okay,
was complain.
Cheaters, cheater pumpkin eaters. We're the Houston Astros.
I'm going to give Ian credit because he didn't do very much complaining. In fact, outside of just giving the right
answer.
And
I think I got the right answer as the only one for the team, to be honest.
I know you got a couple.
Yes.
Ian did get the most right answers. I did get Lara Croft.
Oh, fair. You did.
I had to pat myself on the back for that one.
And that was another ridiculous
one
where I rang the bell before you guys did.
No.
But what was funny about it, of all the things, what was funny was Ian got all these right answers, and he would like hit the bell kind of light. And then
someone else who was louder, a.k.a. you.
Well, no. And then Ian would, like, give the answer, and then it'd be like it was like a silent assassin, like, shot. Like, oh, my God, he got it right. Like, Ian, I think, probably nailed, like, three or four.
Yeah. Ian got a lot of them. Got the Chuck Taylor one.
I mean, he didn't get as many as I did.
Soap on a rope. I got that
soap
one.
Soap on a rope.
Dude, how did you get
one that?
I had never. I've
never heard
of soap
on
a
rope. There is a generational gap, you know, between some of these with the timing.
I know, but you're like 3 years older than me. Maybe not even.
Maybe a little bit more. I think I'm a little bit more. Yeah, 6 years, I think.
So anywho,
soap on a rope. What is the point of that?
So anywho, I just want everybody out there to know that Caroline Fenton cheats at team trivia.
How was I cheating?
Did you come up with your bring it on question for me?
Did I?
Yeah.
Missy is the blank, so take a big blank.
Missy is the poo, so take a big whiff.
Dang it, you're right. That's a good one. You're right. All right, bring it back to me.
Thank you.
Bring it back to me. Another question for you.
I didn't have time to think. Okay. What is the move that they ask Elijah Dusku to do when she wants to join the team?
Double back handspring, back to... Wait, who? What's her name?
It's Elijah Dusku, right? The actress? Yeah.
Missy? Your school has no gymnastics team. This is a last resort. Double back handspring, full back tuck, back handspring.
You might be right. I don't know.
It's something like that.
I was trying to make it really difficult because I knew that you wouldn't be able to get that one. All right. So we have brought it on today. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. There's really nothing for you to react to. And I hate doing that, by the way. I hate like wasting that. But we had to. Yeah, because Caroline cheated.
I did not cheat.
You're right. You did not cheat. You complained.
And you cheated.
You complained.
You are a cheater.
How did I cheat?
You were a cheater, pumpkin eater.
How did I cheat?
Because you tried to claim that you rang the bell first.
And so, this was the conversation literally outside in front of everybody during the trivia, so all the listeners know.
Hey, don't invite me to the party if you... It's like Snoop Dogg said when he performed at Kansas. And Kansas said, oh, we thought we were getting the PG-13 version of Snoop Dogg's performance. And Snoop Dogg went on Howard Stern the next day and was like, yeah, I mean, I think they're just saying that to save face. Like, when you pay for Snoop Dogg, you're going to get
Snoop Dogg.
You know
what you're going to get.
So, like, if you're going to play a game with me involved, like, I'm going to get all worked up about it. Like, that's just how it is. I just want the audience to know this. I absolutely, positively hate radio hosts who waste time by talking about things that the audience probably doesn't care about. So, full disclosure, what I just did is a complete pet peeve of mine. Coming up next, there is something about the Titans that I want to get to, which is, I think, the question on everybody's mind going into this Colts game, because it is a big game. We will do that next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. By the way, Corey Curtis has sent me a link to 204 Bring It On trivia questions.
We might need to address that with Corey on
that
Friday.
That may be fun. 615-737-1025, Stillman & Company. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, delivered by TriStar Moving and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Fred in Ashland City texts into the text line and says, the old office team building games that have been driving teams apart since the beginning of time.
That's so true.
It probably is a little truth to that.
How many times we've gotten into it on this show, but I don't think we've ever been as heated as we were about Bring It On trivia.
Yeah. It was
thanks to team building.
Disappointing. So, the Titans play the Colts. They had their press conferences today. I'll be honest with the audience. I'm not exactly sure what the Titans said because we were too busy arguing about Bring It On in the office team building when they had their press conferences today. So I don't know what the talk has been like for the Titans, but I can assume. And my assumption is that the Titans have spent a lot of time talking about, hey, looking forward, thinking about the Colts, no this, that, or another, no worrying about beating the Bills or beating the Chiefs, but Colts. In fact, after the game on Sunday, they kept talking about, hey, they don't give out Lombardi trophies. Hey, we didn't win the Super Bowl today. Hey, we're not in it, whatever. And I told you all that in my head, and I'm not speaking for him because obviously I don't know what he would have said, and he's obviously not with us anymore, but I did wonder after Sunday what Floyd would have said on Monday, knowing that everything was so positive that the fans would be so pumped up that even me would be like, oh my God, Floyd, you got to give it to him. And I think he probably would have said something like, it doesn't matter if you don't beat the Colts. Colts. I've seen the Titans a lot of times in my life. You get your hopes really high, only to sink them. I've seen that a lot with the Atlanta Braves, which is why even though they dominated in game one last night, I am not feeling good about this World Series. But the Titans really do this, where they have spurts and seasons where you really get your hopes up, and then there's one thing or another that happens and just, boom. I've told the story many times, but I remember exactly where I was in my office at my old house back when I thought I needed an office. I realized that you don't really need a home office unless you have kids. Then that's like, hey, kids, stay out of the home office.
Everywhere is your office.
But when you don't have kids or a wife, like, you know, you can do whatever you want to do wherever you want to do it. But I was in the office, and Adam Schefter tweeted out that morning, Marcus Mariota not going to play. And it was like, boom. Titans had won 4 or 5 in a row at that point, trying to make the playoffs, winning, you're in. Derrick Henry's got Mariota out. Boom. You know, the Titans just have a way of setting you up. They got up 17-7 in the AFC Championship game. And I remember when they threw the touchdown pass to Dennis Kelly. We're in the press box at Arrowhead Stadium. There's not enough seats. So we find a seat in the press box for Floyd. And I think Chase had a seat somewhere in the press box. And I am standing at, like, Corey Curtis's, like, shoulder, overlooking kind of the press box. I mean, I almost felt bad for Corey, but, you know, good man. And they throw the touchdown to Dennis Kelly, and I look over at Floyd, and, like, my tongue's hanging out, like, oh, my God, they're up 17-7. And I said at the time, I'm like, they need a stop. They got to get a stop. You get to 24, now we're talking. But I felt like they needed to get a stop. I couldn't get my hopes up. I said yesterday, I will maintain it this whole week. You beat the Indianapolis Colts, you win the AFC South on Sunday. You won't get a hat or a t-shirt, and there won't be an official X by your name when they show the AFC playoff picture. But Indianapolis does not have a chance of coming back on you. They've already lost to Baltimore. They've already lost to you the first time. They've already lost games in which they thought they could come out ahead. They thought that they could win and kind of keep pace. And they've just lost too many games. And barring a major injury or an epic collapse, I think they know the division is on the line this Sunday. And yet I think a lot of Titan fans who were very fired up on Sunday afternoon and Monday on this show, I think there's a lot of Titan fans who are very nervous about this Sunday's game at Indianapolis. I gave a pat on the back last week to Titan fans after the Monday night football game when they beat the Bills, and I didn't feel like Titan fans got too caught up in the fact that they beat Buffalo. I didn't feel like the callers to the show or the texters to the text line were firing off this sense of, we beat the Bills, we can beat anybody, pumping their chest. Because I think a lot of us knew, hey, it was a good win over the Bills, but here come the Chiefs, here come the Colts, here come the Rams. I have to give Titan fans credit for this week, because I think there's a lot of Titan fans that are done with the win of the Chiefs. Don't care about what they're saying on national TV. Don't care about Mike Greenberg's AFC rankings that don't care about any of this. They are focused right now in the here and now about getting ready to play this Colts game, because too many times in your lifetime, if you're a Titan fan, have you gotten your hopes up only to have them just completely squashed by Indianapolis? Especially losing to Indianapolis teams that aren't better than you. Last year, Titans had the division in their hands, probably. They played early November. They played the Colts. And they changed the punter, but that was kind of the only big deal. And the Titans went out there and played maybe one of their worst games of the season on Thursday Night Football, got beat by the Colts, and now the division was a dogfight that went down to the final day. 2 years ago, they play the Cleveland Browns, the winners of the offseason. Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham, Jarvis Landry. Titans embarrassed Cleveland week one. It was a national game for the most part, so everybody saw the Titans beat down. Just the beat down of Cleveland. They lost to Jacoby Brissett and the Colts at home in the next game. Marcus Mariota spiked the ball on third down. We've seen the Titans lose to the Colts in the past. I used to always joke about the Colts curse. Was that a real thing? Was that not a real thing? But I'll say this. I think the Titans mentally have their heads in the right place. Remember Ryan Tannehill on Sunday after they won the game against the Chiefs. Just kind of cautioned everybody about, hey, they're just 5-2. And I feel personally like they understand that. And so While in the past I've seen the Titans go out there and get cocky or arrogant, I don't feel like we're going to see the Titans get cocky and arrogant this week. But I also understand why Titan fans are worried about the Colts.
Oh, 100% I understand why Titans fans feel uncomfortable about the Colts, because it's something that the Titans always seem to do. And I think one of the bigger feats, you know, beating the Bills and beating the Chiefs, those are two huge marks on the Titans' resume so far this season. And that is a huge confidence booster. But I think the biggest thing would be winning three games in a row. Because it seems like this team, whenever they zig, they zag. Whenever they're high, they get knocked right back down again. And whenever they're low, they beat a team like the Bills, and sure, they're right back on top. I think on every side of the ball, the Titans have the advantage and the better players. It just is a matter of which player shows up. Which Ryan Tannehill are we going to see? Are we going to see Ryan Tannehill that turns the ball over, that throws interceptions? Or are we going to see a Ryan Tannehill that looks calm, cool, and collected in the pocket, and you can go straight to A.J. Brown, and A.J. Brown holds on to the ball? A.J. Brown doesn't drop balls. Or is the offensive line going to be able to open up holes for Derrick Henry to take advantage of? Because this team has every single tool in their toolkit to beat this Indianapolis Colts team. It just depends on which team shows up.
I have a note that I actually have in my safe downstairs at my home that has, it was a breakdown. It was something I wrote. I have, you know, some random stationery around the house that just says, you know, like from Jared Stillman, you know, what, like most people have just random stationery that has their name on it. And then you just write whatever. And it's in the safe in my house because it was the last show that Floyd and I ever did where we reacted to a Titans game. And it was funny because I put together a list of points that the Titans gave the Colts on that Thursday night game last year, where it was A.J. Brown dropping a wide-open touchdown. Tannehill put the ball perfectly on a deep ball. It was in his hands. He dropped it. 7 points you lost out right there. Daquan Jones sacked Phillip Rivers, but spent so much time celebrating the sack that they couldn't get it lined up on the next play, and Indianapolis was able to kick a field goal right before the half. That's 3 points. Clowney on fourth down had the guy in the backfield, didn't get him. They got the first down. They scored points. That's 3 points. 7 points on a blocked, I think it was the blocked punt, that they recovered in the end zone for a touchdown. 7 points on the shanked punt by Trevor Daniel, a.k.a. FedEx, which they ended up putting into the end zone. Like, and it ended up being like 30 points that they either didn't score themselves or they just gifted to Indianapolis. And, you know, Floyd knocked those down a little bit. Like, hold on, you can't say that one and you can't say that one. But it was still like 25 or something crazy like that. And I think there's a lot of us that look at this and think a couple of things. Number one, it's not going to be that easy this year. Like, it can't be this easy that before Halloween or on Halloween, which this game is Sunday on Halloween, that on Halloween the division race is over. It can't be that simple.
It could be.
But there's a lot of us.
It feels too good to be true.
Even the best years of the Titans, it's never been like that.
But has the AFC South been this bad?
No. That is a big factor.
Yeah.
In all of this.
But because, it, I mean, the Titans still haven't played the Texans.
It feels like it can't be that easy. Right? Like, you think it can't be this easy. And I think that's part of it. And then I think the other part of this, too, is the idea of, hey, the Titans always screwed up when they play the Colts. Ryan Porth texted me yesterday and said, I expect them to lose because when they play the Colts, they lose. So,
and going into the season, I said for sure would beat the Colts the first time they play them in Nissan Stadium, for sure would lose to the Colts when they're on the road at Indianapolis.
Do you still feel that way now?
I don't know, because I think we've learned a lot about this team, but it kind of makes me nervous going into the season. I just kind of expected them to split the series with the Colts.
So let's get your phones on it. 615-737-1025. I am congratulating Titan fans again, or giving yourselves a pat on the back or whatever you want to call it, because Titan fans they're not overlooking the Colts game. And I gotta believe the Titans are not overlooking the Colts game either. I mean, this is a big one. Coming up next, do we think that this is for the division? Do we think that a win on Sunday would essentially lock up the division? We'll discuss that next. 615-737-1025 today on Stillman and Company. It's ESPN 1025 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
How much different does Wentz maybe look from a mobility standpoint from when you faced him and effectiveness standpoint?
I think, obviously, much more effective. You know, I mean, doing a really nice job, and I think that his health probably has a, you know, big reason to do with that. I think also, you know, their ability just to, you know, kind of improve as the season's gone on. This is a, you know, much better football team in all phases, you know, than the one that we saw. And, you know, that was a difficult test then. You know, they're essentially 4-0. You know, they won four games in a row. I know they lost to the Ravens, but, you know, they played outstanding. They just unfortunately, you know, ran into a tough night with how Lamar played there in the second half.
There you go. That was Vrabel. You know, they basically won four in a row except for the game that they didn't win. Which, by the way, come on, we know Vrabel. We know Vrabel does not count moral victories in the NFL.
Absolutely not.
So you know he's trying to compliment the Colts, and that is such BS. But I give Vrabel credit because, I mean, that's what a coach is supposed to do. But, I mean, you know Vrabel would never walk in there and say, well, we should have won that game, but...
So we'll just count it.
We practically won the Jets game. A.J. Brown just didn't play. No, Mike. But he knows that.
And you know, Arizona game was at the beginning of the season, so it barely ever happened. So, undefeated. Good job, Titans.
Do you think the AFC South is over with a win on Sunday?
It would be hard to say that it's not, because it's not looking like the Jags or the Texans are any threat to the Titans, and the Titans would have each tiebreaker against the Colts. So, to me, yes. It feels over. Barring any sort of Titans weird thing where they lose both games to the Texans, knock on wood, it feels like it should be over if the Titans win on Sunday.
Ian, do you think the division is over if the Titans win on Sunday?
I'd like to think so, but I can't rule it out. No, I can't.
So if the Titans win on Sunday, they'll be 6-2. The Colts will be 3-5. That's a difference of 3 in both the win column and the loss column. But it's really 4, because any tied record would put you at the advantage having the tiebreaker of having won both games. So you're really 4 games up. The Colts' schedule includes at Buffalo, Tampa Bay, and Arizona. That's 3 more losses. So that puts them at 8. So all the Titans have to do is get to 9 wins and be tied with the Colts and win the division. Titans would have 6 wins. They play the Texans twice and the Jags once more. So that's before you get to Browns or to the Steelers, Patriots, Saints,
49ers,
you know, all these other teams. It's before you get to those. Because I think I could see in my head the Titans going out and losing to the Patriots or losing on the road at Pittsburgh, even though they shouldn't. I mean, I could see them losing to one of those teams because they got some decent players and they've got a good coach and you're on the road. And I think that the Saints and the Patriots are after the Rams. So you get the long trip to L.A., long trip back. You've just run through the gauntlet. Then you got to fly up to Foxborough and play the Patriots before the bye week.
In November, usually, when it's freezing.
And usually teams look forward to the bye week, and it's like the last day of work before vacation, and everybody's just looking at the clock, waiting for it to hit whatever time you leave. Okay, you lose Patriots. But again, all you got to do is win 9 games. In my opinion, win 9 games. If you win on Sunday, you play the Texans twice and the Jags once more. And surely you're going to not lose all those Patriots, Saints, 49ers at home, Steelers games that are left. And that also doesn't take away from the fact that you could be the Rams. I mean, I cannot see Indianapolis beating Buffalo at Buffalo, a dome team going to Buffalo, Tampa Bay at home, or on the road at Arizona. Because I just don't think they're good enough. Even on one of those teams' not-so-great days, I don't think they're good enough to beat that kind of team. I don't think the Colts are very good. Now, there's one thing about the Colts that I think does stand out to me. Their offensive line is playing better. So Nelson is back, and he's healthy, and Ryan Kelly is back, and the left tackle, Fisher, they've now played together a little bit. And so I think their line is kind of gelling, which I don't like, but I don't think that puts them over the top against Arizona or Tampa Bay. So if you win Sunday, all you have to do is beat the Texans and the Jags in the division shares, which is crazy. But then again, if you go 6-0 in your division, you're probably going to win it.
Yes.
Let's go to your phone. 615-737-1025. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have in the text line?
Josh texts in and says, nothing is guaranteed with the Titans, but I do think if we beat Indianapolis, we win the division because the only team we'd face besides the Rams, we will be the favorites. Indianapolis still has to play the cards, the Bills, and the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, that's my whole theory is, again, you don't have to do anything except beat the Texans and the Jags in order to essentially clinch the division after that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like those days where New England plays in the AFC East with bad Buffalo and Cleo Lemon and the Miami Dolphins and, you know, the Jets that can never get out of their own way. And it's like Thanksgiving and the Patriots are legitimately clinching the division with hats and shirts. And that's because everybody else was so bad. But that whole season, the Patriots don't spend any time being worried about those teams in the division. I mean, I think Floyd was in New England for 4 years. So I think he's got four AFC East hats and shirts. Now, I have never been through Floyd's closet, but I do feel like we got a pretty good idea of what the wardrobe was like on a daily basis because we saw it every day, and it was like Titans shirt, Titans pants, Patriots shirt, Titans pants, Patriots shirt, Patriots pants, Patriots this, Titans that. Like, that's his entire wardrobe. And I never once saw an AFC East championship anything. And I highly doubt that he kept them like, oh, let me make sure to keep this AFC East championship hat from 2011 because, God forbid, like, I never felt like that mattered to the Patriots.
Well, it's something that is a feat for sure. You know, you got to win the AFC East before you win the AFC and before you win the Super Bowl. But to teams whose expectation is Super Bowl every year, it just kind of seems silly and trivial. For example, Ole Miss has an SEC West champion banner hanging in their stadium. You think Alabama has an SEC West championship banner hanging in their stadium?
No.
Ben texts into the text line, not Indy Ben.
Where is Indy Ben? We've been talking some bad smack about maybe the cheerleading talk got him turned off.
Right? Maybe. He'll be back. He always comes back.
That is true.
Ben texts in and says, the Titans don't need to know that they won the division until at least week 13. Jared always worries about the mental aspect of it. Well, they will definitely get complacent if they know they are making the playoffs in week 8. We don't need them to be on cruise control at all before the postseason.
Don't we all think they're going to make the playoffs now anyways?
It feels like they will, yes.
They made the playoffs 3 out of the last 4 years. They're 5-2. They just beat the Bills and the Chiefs. Even if they don't win the division, the odds of them making the playoffs are pretty strong. I don't think that there's any idea around here that they don't expect to make the playoffs. I think everybody's vision, including theirs, changes if they win to, okay, Colts, Jags, Texans out of the way. Where's Buffalo? Where's Baltimore? Where's Cincinnati? Where's the Chargers? Where's all these other teams? And what seed you may break? Because, again, you got the second best odds, according to 538. You have the second best odds of being the number one seed in the AFC. And there is a lot of value in that. I was talking to my dad about this yesterday when we were watching the World Series. And I said, I think a part of the value in having the bye is that that's one less week where nobody can get injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you cannot, where you, and yeah, you can bring guys back and guys that have some issues can heal it up. But that's one game you don't have to play where you lose a corner to a broken leg. You know, that is, I think, another aspect of having the bye and then having every game at home. So not having to go to frigid Buffalo, not having to go to all the way to Los Angeles. Like, I think those are big things. Chris Sanders will join us next, former Titans receiver. He has been hot for the Titans, picking him to beat the Bills, picking him to beat the Chiefs. He got them both right. He joins us coming up next. His thoughts on the Colts, his thoughts on the division, and how about the way A.J. Brown's played? We'll get Chris Sanders' thoughts on that. It's family time in Smashville this Saturday at Bridgestone Arena, 12:30 hockey. The Spooky Smashville Family 4-Pack includes 4 tickets, 4 hot dogs, 4 sodas, and 4 free skate passes at the Ford Ice Center. The first 5,000 kids to arrive will receive a Halloween tote for arena trick-or-treating. Prices start at $129. See you in Smashville. Get tickets today at nationalpredators.com/familypack. Stillman and Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hey, be sure to check out the NFL Game of the Week presented by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue. The NFL Game of the Week this week is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints. Kickoff 325, ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am a big believer in credit where credit is due. Chris Sanders came on Monday before the Titans played the Bills and said, I'm taking the Titans. Chris Sanders said on the pregame show on Sunday, he's taking the Titans over the Chiefs. And Chris Sanders said winning the coin toss was and getting the football was going to be a big deal. Now, I don't think the Titans won the toss. I think they lost the toss and then received in the first half. But they moved down the field, they scored a touchdown, and they never looked back on Sunday. So even though his logic may be flawed, he nailed that one too. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, joins us now on the program. Chris, how do you feel about the Titans after their two big wins?
Man, I'm feeling good. I'm over here smiling. But the one thing I'm really excited about, I know we were giving Todd Downing and a lot of that team's, a lot of those offensive coordinators a bad rap. But what they did on offense was spectacular. This is the first time in a long time that I've seen a balanced offense from the Tennessee Titans. You had Henry that had 29 rushes. You had Tannehill that had 27 rushes. And what he did also is he kept the Kansas City Chiefs off balance with the formations, 3-by-1, you know, empty, wildcat, all those things. So, man, it was just a very good sight to see because we haven't seen that in the past, and we actually saw a balanced offense last Sunday.
I think the last two games, Chris, have proven to me how valuable A.J. Brown is to the Titans. And I think that, like, for example, Kansas City, and they talked about this on the pregame show to Sunday Night Football. Tony Dungy was breaking it down, and he said, look at all the guys around the line of scrimmage at Kansas City.
Absolutely.
And I go back to the Jets game where A.J. Brown didn't play, and I think Tannehill, for example, the touchdown pass he threw to A.J., A.J. wasn't open, but he knew that if he put it in that spot with that man-for-man coverage, A.J. was going to go up and get it. And I don't think when you've got guys that aren't A.J. Brown out there, that Tannehill has the faith to do that, and that's what led to him in the Jets game, holding on to the football too long, unsure of what to throw, but he's got so much trust in A.J. winning his matchup that he's okay throwing the football, and it's really, I think, a big warning sign to teams that are going to try to load the box and take Derrick Henry away.
Man, absolutely. I mean, you know, at the beginning of the season, we weren't seeing those explosive plays. And then now, you know, the Tennessee Titans or the offense is getting one-on-one on the outside. You know, when A.J. Brown was out, you just didn't feel comfortable with the receiving corps. But then you have him out here, and they bring a safety down low, and they go cover one that's, you know, man-to-man across the board in a free safety. And I'm licking my chops as a quarterback. If I'm telling you, and I see A.J. Brown, a guy that's 6'2", 6'3", 240, 245 frame, I'm just going to throw the ball up. That's exactly what he did. I know he threw the long one to him that was actually on the money, but the one touchdown that he caught, he just threw it up and let A.J. Brown make a play. So when you talk about defending the Tennessee Titans, everybody's going to say, you got to stop the run. Yeah, you better stop the run, but also you got a big dog out there, A.J. Brown, is going to make those explosive plays. Now, if we get Julio Jones back, I mean, it gets even worse. Who are you going to cover? If you're going to try to cover A.J. Brown, Julio Jones can make this a spectacular play. If you cover Julio Jones, that A.J. Brown is going to beat you on a deep pass or explosive play. So this is going to be a tough offense for defenses to stop if A.J. Brown keeps playing like this.
When do you think, Chris Sanders with us, when do you think Julio will be able to make the impact? So far, he's on pace for his lowest total ever, you know, in playing a full season or most of a full season, and just a little bit over 700 yards. Has not scored a touchdown yet. We've seen him play five games for the Titans. He was dominant in the Seattle game. So we know that it has been there at least once this year. How long until you think they can work Julio into that mix? Because I'm with you. If they get the Seattle Julio and the Buffalo AJ and the every week Derrick Henry, I do not know if you can stop this offense.
Absolutely, but it's all going to depend on Julio Jones. You know, we talked about this at the beginning of the year. We talked about when, you know, everything about bringing on him. The concern was, can he stay healthy? Because in Atlanta, he made some big plays and, you know, had 1,000 yards, but he's consistently hurt. So now if we can just get him on the field, and I don't know, and I respect Mike Vrabel and I respect Jay Rob, but I don't know what's keeping Julio Jones from not playing in the third and fourth quarter. Because if you look at when they played the Kansas City Chiefs last week, I mean, he caught an 18-yard pass. He caught another pass. But then all of a sudden, the rest of the game, he's absent. You look on the sidelines, you see Julio Jones sitting in there, but you see A.J. Brown in the game. You see Westbrook. You see all the other receivers in there. But why isn't Julio Jones in the game?
Chris Sanders is our guest. How important do you think Mykal Pruitt has become to this mix?
I mean, you know, we talked about it, and you scream it every week, we need tight ends. You say that every single week. But he consistently shows up on field. He consistently makes a play in the game. It might not be a 30-yard catch or a 40-yard catch, but he's catching touchdowns and he's keeping the chains moving. So even though he might not be as valuable or as big of a playmaker as Janu Smith was, but he's playing consistently in each and every game. So, you know, even though, you know, he's catching a one-yard touchdown or third and five, he's catching a first down, he's still valuable to this Tennessee Titans offense.
Chris, how worried are you about the Colts? The one thing I think I'm giving the fans credit for is I don't think they're getting too caught up on the Kansas City and Buffalo wins. I think they're looking forward to this Indianapolis game. We've seen how divisional games can be in the past, especially against the Colts. What do you think of this game? How do you feel about this game, and what are you worried about when it comes to Indianapolis?
I'm a little nervous, and the reason why I'm a little nervous is because Indianapolis has to win this game to stay in the race. I mean, everybody knows the division race, and everybody knows about the playoffs, but this is a different team than when they played on the first time. They were banged up. Carson Wentz was playing inconsistent. He was playing on two broken ankles. Then now he's playing with confidence. He's inspiring his offense. He's inspiring his defense, and they're playing at a different level. I watched last week when they beat the 49ers. I was watching them come in the locker room, and I saw the energy in their eyes. I saw the passion in their eyes to say, you know what, we just came to San Francisco and beat 49ers. If we take one game at a time and we go on to beat the Tennessee Titans, we're right in this. That's a dangerous team to me. So, yeah, I'm concerned, but at the end of the day, I still don't know who's going to win. I was going to say the Titans, but I just don't know.
When you go back to your playing days, do you ever remember being in the same spot that the Colts are, where you know, because I got to believe, right, Indianapolis knows if they lose Sunday,
right,
the division's probably gone.
Yeah.
And I wonder what that is like and how dangerous that makes the Colts.
I mean, you got a team that's hungry. I mean, and the thing about it is this is what makes this game so dangerous and so scary, is because everybody, when they were 1-4, everybody was riding them off. They was talking about how bad Wentz was, how bad the offensive line was playing, how bad the defense is, how bad the secondary is. But now you're in a position to win a divisional game and put yourself right back in a race. I mean, that's a dangerous team. And then we're going on the road to where it's a hostile, you know, fans. You got hostile things that are going on down there. But at the end of the day, the team that starts out fast, the team which quarterback that doesn't makes the least amount of mistakes is definitely the team that's going to win.
What do you make of the Tannehill mistakes? To your point, it feels to me like when Tannehill was here, every now and then he'd panic in the pocket for the first 2 years and maybe throw an interception. But, I mean, he is on pace to just, I mean, almost double the interceptions that he threw last year. He threw another one on Sunday where he wasn't expecting the blitz, or the blitz got through and he threw the ball right to the linebacker and it didn't kill him. But it does feel like we're seeing these Tannehill, I call them the Tannehill pocket panic turnover, because it feels like once a week we're getting one of these, and I don't like it. What do you think of it?
You know, it's concerning. He's just got to protect the football better. He can't fumble. He can't make interceptions. I mean, it's not that he's trying to do something that he's not accustomed to do. I just think at times he doesn't feel comfortable in the pocket. And if you're a quarterback and you're not comfortable in the pocket and you're uneasy, you're going to make some mistakes. I mean, just look at a couple of weeks ago where I forgot what game it was, but he threw like one or two interceptions, and it just throws the momentum of the offense off in the rhythm. So he just can't do that. He has to protect the football. And here's what he has to do as a quarterback. Live another down. Just live another down. If you have to throw the ball away and punt, that's okay. But if you're turning the ball up to an opponent offense with the Indianapolis Colts, with Taylor, with Pittman, and those other receivers, then now it can be dangerous for you making those mistakes.
I think one thing that bothers me with Tannehill's mistakes so far this year, Chris, are kind of to your point about the live another down, or it's like when they scrimmaged Tampa Bay, Logan Woodside threw three interceptions in a row, and I asked Vrabel about it after the practice, and Vrabel said what we were doing in that drill was last play of the game scenario. So the quarterback has to throw the ball no matter what in that last play of the game scenario. And I was like, okay, makes sense. You know, last play of the game, got to have a touchdown. Ball's got to come out. I don't care if it goes to the other team. Ball's got to come out. Tannehill makes mistakes like where he panics and throws the football, where, to your point, just take the sack.
Just take the sack.
Just take the sack, kick the field goal, go up 30-3, you're good. But he doesn't. Or against the Jets, he takes the delay of game penalty where you're right on the edge of field goal range. Like, you can't take that penalty
yeah.
right there.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what's bothering me, because I think Tannehill's a smart player. I really do. And I think Tannehill understands the game as it's going on. But part of that quarterback thing is to know. And you hear Tony Romo talking about on the broadcast all the time. Like, I got 9 seconds. I got to get 13 yards. I've got to clock it there. I've got it. Like, it's a hard position to play and think at the same time. I get it. But that's why you make $30 million. And I feel like Tannehill's made a lot of those mistakes this year, Chris.
He's made, I mean, what you said in a nutshell, you're 100% right. But I'm going to flip it a little bit. All that was negative. I'm not saying it was negative, but you're right. But here's the good thing about it is that I love about Tannehill. Even though he throws interceptions, even though he makes mistakes, even though he fumbles, even though he throws a ball, you're like, what in tarnation are you doing? When the game is on the line, when it's time to have a drive to make a touchdown or a field goal or to tie the game up, he consistently does that. I don't know what it is. He zones in. I don't know if he's reading the coverages better. I don't know if what he's doing something different as opposed to earlier in the game. I don't know if he's playing loose in the game or not focused, but when the game is on the stinking line and they have to get a touchdown, they have to have a 97-yard drive to get a touchdown, he always delivers.
That's there is something with that. Last year, he led the league in fourth quarter comebacks and in game-winning drives. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, he'll be with us for the pregame show on Sunday. Chris, appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
Yep, Chris Sanders joining us on the program as he always does. And Chris, you know what's funny, Caroline, is last week, oh, I think they're going to beat the Chiefs. Week before that, oh, I think they're going to beat the Bills. This week, oh, I'm nervous about the Colts.
He's skeptical.
What do we make of that? We'll get to that. 615-737-1025. We'll get to that. Stillman & Company right here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Edmunds, buying a car can be overwhelming, especially now that the demand is back and in full swing. Lucky for you, Edmunds has been taking the stress out of car shopping for over 50 years. Edmunds editors drive over 500,000 miles every year, testing thousands of hours on hundreds of new vehicles. They review almost every car in the market and rank the best ones in each category, so you can narrow your search and compare options side by side to find the best vehicle for you. When you're ready, Edmunds makes it easy to find options in your area with accurate price estimates. Edmunds has helpful filters, so you can search by color, model, special features, engine type, drivetrain, price, distance, and more. They even show you dealerships that are offering home delivery right now. I love that option. Edmunds is here to guide you to your perfect vehicle. Visit Edmunds.com to see their best car rankings and search for vehicles near you. That's EDMUNDS.com for cars. There's Edmunds.